I must be honest, the last couple of weeks has been extremely difficult. This week has been one of the most difficult weeks in preparing the sermon. And one of the songs that we sang there was, Do Not Be Afraid. And that's the title of my sermon this morning is, Do Not Be Afraid, for I, the Lord your God, is with you. What an appropriate sermon or title in the time that we are living in. In the time of for us as a family, in this time for the church. What an appropriate title. Because I'm sure we all suffering from xenophobia. Now, friends, don't worry. Xenophobia doesn't just mean fear of strangers. No. I looked it up, and you can go and look it up as well. Fear of the unknown. That is what it means as well. It's not just strangers. Now, if you suffered from xenophobia 8 years ago, I would not be here. Amen? Because that would have been fear of strangers. But this morning, our xenophobia is fear of the unknown. We're all sitting here, we're saying, Lord, what is it that you're saying to us as the church? What is it that you want to say to me as an individual? What is it that you're saying, Lord? Give me open ears. Now, many of us has got open ears for many years, but we do not always have receptive hearts. That's the difference. I pray this morning that God not just give us open ears, but receptive hearts of his word this morning. Hallelujah. Now, legend has it. Now, I'm not sure. I heard the story, and I tried to look it up, but I didn't find the author of the story. So please, for the theologians amongst us and those that's got a tendency to go and check and make sure that I'm on the right track, please do and help me. But legend has it that there's a certain culture. I'm not sure if it's Greek or Hebrew culture or Jewish culture, that at a certain age, the father of the family takes the young child. I think the child should most probably be at an age of understanding right from wrong and truth from lies. I'm not sure what age that would be, if it's 7, 4, 5, 6, or 7, that the father of a family would take the child and put the child on a little ledge like this. Stand here, my son. I didn't do it with you guys, Alexia. Maybe we can try that tomorrow. The father takes the child and puts the child there and says to the, do you trust me? And the child says, yes, daddy. Mia, you want to try? Do you trust me? And the child says, yes, daddy. And whether it's a boy or girl, I'm not sure. But this is legend, okay? And what happens then, he says, okay, now that you say you trust me, I want you to jump to me. I am your father. So right, 1, 2, 3. And the child jumps. And where is daddy? So what do you think happens to that child? Pa! The child falls down. Yes! I'm thinking, how cruel. This dad is crazy, man. He's most probably a father like me, crazy. But you know what? Legend has it that is the way that this culture teaches their child not to trust anybody. Not to trust anybody, but to rely on that they know. Legend goes further to say that child grows up and does exactly the same to his or her children as well. What do you think that culture or that community consists of? Come on, help me, somebody. We are here this morning because we want to hear from God. Amen? What do we think that community consists of? Not trusting, say it. They're not trusting each other. They trust themselves because they were taught from a young age. God comes in and says to us, trust me. Do not be afraid. He's the only one that we can trust even today. Because friends, our brothers, our fathers, our sisters, our mothers will come and say to us, jump, I will catch you. And by the time you jump, they're not there anymore. They're not there. A hard lesson learnt. A hard lesson learnt. Now this is all legend. As I said earlier, I do not know who the author is. So please, you can go and check it up. Now friends, this morning, I want to speak to you about not being afraid. Sometimes these words are meant to assist us in times of trouble, in times of uncertainty. Sorry, our friends and our family would come alongside us and say, don't worry, it's going to be okay. Don't be afraid, it's going to be okay. And those words intended to encourage us normally makes us even more afraid. Amen? Because we do not know what the situation is. We do not know where we're going. We do not know what we're going to be facing. And you know what? These words doesn't mean much to us. I thought about it and remembering our call to year, thought about it, remembering how God called me out of the mining industry, out of my life of sport, into ministry. And I remember vividly what it felt like. I went and consulted Dr. Google, as we all do, and I said, Lord, how many times in your word do you actually tell me not to be afraid? And I'm not sure for many of you that's looking at your phones right now, how many times do you think that God says in his word that you should not be afraid? Now, we all know that they're cheating, okay? Because they went and looked. They went and looked. Yes, friends, there's a word for do not be afraid for every day of the year. But they were wrong because it's 366 on certain years. They missed out that one. But Dr. Google actually said there's 408 times it is mentioned. 189.9 K answers per viewer per year. 189,000 views of that every year. That people view how not to be afraid. I asked my doctor the other day, Doctor, you've helped me over the many years. Is there a tablet that you can give me not to be afraid? Now, in his wisdom, he looked at me, knowing who I am. He looked at me, and he said, Sean, you are a pastor, are you not? I said, yes, sir. He said, now, why do you come to me for such a thing? How wise is this man? I paid my $72 with a smile to be told, don't ask me, ask him. How many times don't we go and pay people to tell us things we already know? I paid him because my psychologist has passed away. I didn't kill her. Please get that right. I didn't kill her. Listen to this. I appreciate that there's some internet gurus that argues that it occurs 365 times, once for each day, as I said. As a form of encouragement, I'm not opposed to encouragement, but even using liberally every current English translation and even including the times when it's not God addressing a human talking to another human, possibly even in the midst of committing some evil, you can get to 365. Yes, you can. My count using multiple translations and multiple variations. Do not be anxious. Do not fear. Fear not. Be at peace. And similarly, we can go through this. The answer, the other answers on the thread cover the most obvious example overall. The thought seems a prime example of a postorium, a memorabilia and pithy saying about the faith of God. The Bible that is wonderful, encouraging, challenging, and probably not totally wrong when viewed from a very generous perspective. Ultimately, if God addresses the believer in a general context, you can go to John chapter 14 and verse 27 and says, do not be afraid. Once should even be enough. All that I said there with all that jargon is that no matter what you do, you go to Scripture. John chapter 14 says, only allowing God to say that to you once is enough. You don't have to hear that 365 times or 408 times. You only need to hear that once. Imagine you as a mother or father, that you just come to your child every day and just say, are you okay? Is all okay? Today is going to be a good day. Imagine you do that every morning. What would that child be like? Amazing. I'm not sure, Mr. Google. The next word that we run into is fear. Fears are real and natural, and sometimes more real than natural. That is fear. How many of us has gone through life fearing so many things? Now, friends, fear has many, many faces. And some of the faces is even yours and mine. Fears may leave us unsettled. Fear may leave us insecure. Fear may leave us doubting ourselves, even our self-worth. I'm from there. I'm from there. Over the last many months, I actually wondered, Lord, why would you have called me? Yes. To the extent that I didn't even feel worthy to minister. I didn't feel worthy to encourage. I didn't feel worthy to pray for people. That is what fear does to us. It paralyzes us. Having sleeping problems or health problems, worrying about how tomorrow might treat us, or even if there will be a tomorrow for us. The issue we once settled in is simple. How do we avoid fear, and even if we can avoid fear? I know there's some of us that say, I don't have any worries, man. I don't allow fear to take control of me. They are hyper-spiritual. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. But for the natural man, the natural warrior in us, who's warriors here? Who's people that if there's a situation that we can't sleep, we can't eat because there's this thing that needs to be solved. Many of us, our hands was up. Now, I'm not preaching to the special ones. Praise God for them. They get another grade, you know. Praise God for them. But for those of us that is natural, no matter what the Word of God says, no matter what the Spirit says, no matter what my pastor says, no matter what my doctor says, I'm still worrying. I'm still anxious. Because that's natural to me. Whether we even know the outcome, we're still going to worry. And I think there was a song about it many years ago. Don't worry, be happy. Do you remember that song? How do we live with it when we must? And what can we learn from it? Friends, we can only turn to the author and finisher of our faith. Of yours and my faith. Now, please, brothers and sisters, let us just be honest for a couple of minutes now. How many times when somebody says to you, when you are anxious and worried, and somebody says to you, you just got to pray more, how many times don't you want to use some very choice words to them? Because I am already praying. I am already doing these things that you want to say to me to do more. Do you know I've only slept 2 hours over the last 24 hours because I need to just make sure this thing goes through well. Now, I'm not promoting fear this morning. I'm telling you what God can do for you. Amen. Just in case somebody want to come kick me off here. Friends, we can turn to God. God promises to comfort us in our fear if we seek him when we're afraid. We have the confident assurance that he is with us invariably in all our circumstances. Now, not once during the time that I mentioned here this morning did I say that God is not with us. Because his word says to us, I will never and forsake you. That means that even during our worrying time, he is there. Because he knows us so well. He knows that you're going to worry. He knows you too well. He knows that you're going to be anxious about it. And you know what? He allows you to. Because that's your journey with him. You need to be able to step into your journey with God on your own. We can pray with you. We can lay hands on you. All those type of things. But it needs to come from you. Psalm 46 and verse 1 to verse 2 says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in time of trouble. So we will not fear even if earthquakes comes and the mountains crumbles into the sea. We should not worry. Just run. Don't worry if the mountains are starting to crumble. When I read this, I just remembered that day of 9/11, when the buildings were starting to fall. The cameraman, I was my first or second year at college, and we were sent home. And when the second plane went into the towers there, myself and a few friends went to our place to pray, because our lecturer at the time, Professor D. Morecambe's daughter, was in the air from America. And he didn't know where she was. And I admired the cameraman. At that time, if there was a flight available, I would most probably have been in the States. Because I'm one of those people, when a situation occurs, I don't run away from it. In my craziness, what do you think I do? I run into it because I felt the need to go and help. I admired that cameraman because you know what? Even though the things was happening there, he was going forward and he was following the fire engine and then the different firemen that was running into the building, and he was stopped at a place. And I'm just thinking, wow, this guy needed to be born with no fear. How many of us, even right now, when the situation comes up, that we actually try to run away from it? All of us. I made light of it earlier when I said when the mountains start to crumble and what does it say? When the mountains crumbled into the sea, I said, run, which is the natural thing for us to do. But yes, run to him right there. Right there. John chapter 14 verse 27 says, I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. So don't be troubled or afraid. What do you think he's leaving us with? The comforter. The comforter. I was speaking to a friend the other day, and I said to him, when we're not well, when you're not well, what is the one place that you want to go to? Our government says to us today that if you're coughing or sneezing, what must you do? Stay at home, right? When you're not well as a child, where did you want to go to? You want to go home. Today, child of God, if you're not well, if you're anxious, if you're scared, if there's all these troubles in your soul, go home, go to Jesus. That's our home. That's our home. Don't turn to some wise man or wise woman. Turn to him. Psalm 2 verse 11, 2 Corinthians verse 7, 7 verse 1, Deuteronomy chapter 30, Deuteronomy 31 verse 7 to 8, Hebrews 10 verse 31, Genesis 26 verse 7, Joshua 17 verse 16 to 18. All these are promises from God. And I can send you the link if you want it. All these are promises from God that for us not to fear, he is with us. And there's much more. There's much, much more. I only chose these. God will give you his peace during this time. Not peace, not little green stuff. No, peace that passes all understanding. That calms our hearts and our minds. That comes alongside of us. And even though we were just anxious like that, when that peace of God comes and enfolds us, wow. I remember many years ago, I don't know if you remember the song, the singer Dallas Holmes. Anybody remember Dallas Holmes? He used to sing with Billy Graham. I think he used to sing with one of the evangelists as well, Dallas Holmes. And he sang a song about when we enfolded, when that peace enfolds us. Wow. I remember listening to that thing many, many a night, being at work underground and feeling alone, feeling scared, feeling anxious. Listening to this. Psalm 91, hallelujah, God will give you peace. Leviticus 26, verse 6, God's angels are watching over you even right now. Do not fear. Friends, the reason why I come to you this morning with these words from our God and our Savior is because as human beings, we are at a crossroads. We don't know what's coming next. We unsure and doubt even our own instincts are letting us down right now. When all else fails, turn to the manual. Now, as men, we normally first try to fix it ourselves before we go to the manual, don't we? Because we know it. And while I'm trying to fix it and struggling, my wife is opening the manual and she says, you're actually on page 3 now. It says, stop! Don't go any further. Because there's only one way to be rescued. And that is to turn to Jesus. What is going on for you and for me might be that we forgot that he is our rescuer. That we forgot that we can still at any point in time stop and say, Jesus, come into this situation, please, my Lord. We forgot. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. When all else fails, turn to the manual, the word of God. And for some, it's too late. And for others, it can be a rescue, a form of rescue. What is it for you this morning? Is this word a form of rescue to you? That you do not have to be afraid? You can turn to Jesus? Or is it too late for you? I think while we are breathing, while we can hear these words, it is never too late. We all have a chance if we trust and obey. Now, there's a song that goes, if we trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Very old song. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and don't doubt yourself. You will have folks saying, trust me, I'm genuine. We all have had that already, didn't we? When somebody phones you up and say, I'm the real deal. I'm a genuine man. You know, the minute they have got to emphasize the fact that you've got to trust them, what is the red lights they say to you? Stop. Don't trust them. No, only God is the real deal. Trust me, I am him who is sent by him. Trust only God. Let their fruits speak to you. Let their fruits tell you who they really are. Friends, some wolves come in sheep's clothes. We know that, don't we? And the church is no different. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. Allow God to speak to you. When the Holy Spirit comes, it doesn't come and bang, forces itself on you. No, the Bible teaches me. He says what? I stand at the door and knock. I'm a gentleman, man. I'm a gentleman. I don't force myself on people, trying to push people over to show them that the Holy Spirit is in them. No, you don't have to be pushed over. If you are genuinely prayed for, I lift my hands over you, man, it will happen. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit that you trust. Not the one that says to you, oh, I am filled with the Holy Spirit, trust me. No ways. That's not Jesus. Run from them. Allow the Spirit to guide you, to guide your heart and your thoughts. I love this over the last couple of months. We all have friends that prays with us, that shares with us. And one of the first things that our friends says to us is, God's got this. God's got this. I've got a friend, an American friend, and he says to me, Pastor, God's got this, man. Uncle Jim, can you help me there? Just say to us that God's got this. Oh, yeah. Is the famous words of my brothers and sisters in the Lord these days. As I said there, at the start of my sermon, that sometimes these words are not always encouragement when we're really trusting him. Friends, I want to conclude this morning by saying, remember, fear has many faces. I said that earlier, didn't I? The face of fearing people in the physical. How many times have you feared somebody physically? Scared of them? Oh, yeah. I remember one time I had a situation where I was helping a brother. Yeah, around the corner, yeah. And the one night the brother came to our house. And, I mean, look at me, man. I'm big and strong. And this brother was so skinny and timid. And he came to me like this in my face. And he says, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I thought, oh, this is Mr. Drug speaking. And I was really scared. I closed the door so that if anybody's going to go, I'm going to go. Because Samantha was too far, I was going to push her out and say, you go and sort him out. But I thought, no, close the door. And I said to him, brother, it's just me and you now. I said to my wife, call 000. Because sometimes we fear human beings. We fear the physical. The other face that fear has, the fear of facing situations in the physical, just like I explained now. The other face that the fear has is the fear of the spiritual encounter. Now this, a couple of years ago, we had over a few months, we had people coming into this church that had faced spiritual situations and that was going through really trying times, filled with demons. And we laid hands on them and prayed for them. And things happened right here. And I remember having to say to some people, don't come. Because this is a situation that you might not be able to handle. I come from dark Africa, man, where we encounter all kinds of evil in the spiritual as well. All kind of people in the spiritual. I remember going to a camp not so far from here, And the first night, myself and another Indian pastor couldn't sleep. I was walking around at about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning at the campsite. And one of the leaders came and he heard us talking outside and came up and said, "What's wrong?" I said to him, "We can't sleep. There's something not right here." He said, "I was waiting when you're going to pick it up." Because of the spiritual encounter, the spiritualness that you have within you will make you uneasy. And that will tell you, wait, stop, don't go yet. Fear of the spiritual encounter. And then most of us have got this face, the fear of failure. Who's scared of failing here? Who's scared of failing? Be honest. And that is the face. The fear of being disappointed again. We all have that faces. Because in some way or the other, you've been disappointed in your life. When God says in his word in Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you when you're at your lowest." What does the word of God says? When you're weak, you are. Sometimes we say it like we don't believe it. And yes, we don't believe it. Because at that point in time, you don't feel it. I phoned a pastor friend of mine this week. And I said to him, "Pastor, please tell me, where is God in this situation? I can't see God right now." Fear of disappointment. The Bible goes further in Isaiah 41. He says, "Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will help you." I stopped there for a while this week. "Yes, I will help you." Now, Lord, when? "Yes, I will help you." "Lord, when?" You keep on saying to me, "I will help you," but when? "Not your time, but my time," says the God of the all-knowing God. "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Hallelujah. God's right hand is righteous, my friend. No matter what the world may say, no matter what disappointment may come, when God's got you, and don't stop saying that, because God's got you. It might not look like he's got you right now, but he's got you. It might not look when that thing happens in your life, when that partner leaves you, when that deal falls through, when that person passes on, it might not look like he's got you, but he's got you. We all have that face. He says, he goes further to say, "Place all these fears on me and I will replace them with 1, courage. 2, confidence. 3, endurance. 4, tenacity. 5, selfless confidence. 6, love, because love will cover all the above and make you the person you were called to be in his presence." Who were you called to be in God's presence? This morning, we need to stop and say, "Lord, what face do I have of this thing called fear? Am I going to have the latter of courage, confidence, endurance, tenacity, self-control, blessing? Or am I going to have the above? Fear of the physical, fear of the spiritual, fear of failure, fear of disappointment. Are we already walking like God is dead? Or are we walking around like saying, yes, I might not understand it right now. And yes, church, I'm speaking from a personal point of view. I might not understand it right now. But you know what? I'm walking with my head up high. Because at the end of the day, I will be God's child no matter where I go. I will remain wearing this collar no matter where I go. I will remain being the child that God has called me, or the person that God has called me to be, no matter where I go. You know why? Because I understand God's purpose. Do you understand God's purpose? You're sitting there. You're feeling like a failure right now. But I want to say to you this morning, God wants to bless you. You need to stand up. Stand out. Step out of your situation and say, Lord, I do not understand it. Father, I do not understand it. But right now, Lord, we could raise our hand this morning and say, yes, Lord, thank you, my brother, for the blessing of the drums. Thank you, Mia, for leading us in song. We could raise our hands. There's brothers and sisters that was watching that were saying, isn't there a place lower that I could put my hands there? That's how weak I'm feeling right now. We're looking for a place to shove our hands in because it's too heavy to lift. I saw my wife doing this and I'm thinking, Lord, I want to do it as well. I want to do it as well. And it was, yes, it's done. I've got it up there. And you know what? The devil doesn't like that. The devil doesn't like that. Even right now, he doesn't like that. He says, just shut up, shut up. And I'm hearing him say that. And you're going to shut up now yourself. He doesn't want you to be victorious. He wants you to remain in the position of fear and in tiredness and anxious. He wants you to remain there. But you know, even in our fear, God is there. Even in our discouragement, disappointment, God is there. The uncle that lives right next door to us, yeah. He says, thank you for the drums. I told him that it was moved this way. Because he says, wow. It has just blessed his soul. Just to hear that there's life, you know. And he says to me, Sean, he's disappointed. I had to tell him about next week. Unfortunately, he hasn't set a foot in church in 25 years. The only time he set a foot in church when he comes to my office here. And he said to me the other day, I'm going to miss that interaction with you. That communion. He didn't know the word communion. He said that coming together. I use the word communion. Because he would come and sit and engage with me. He's going to miss that. Now, even after 25 years, the seed is planted. You don't have to doubt it. You don't have to see it grow. God will do the job. My fear is pushed away. God is in control. Amen. God is in control. Now, friends, I've got to close this morning. I've asked the music team I want to close with a special song this morning. I was thinking of singing it, but my wife said, you know those words that is not spoken? Now, I'm going to ask the team to help me this morning. And I want you this morning, if you're saying, Father, I know what face of fear I have, but I want you this morning, Lord, to show me your way, because that's the only way. I do not want to follow the route of uncertainty, the route of not knowing. I want to follow that route of placing my trust in you, Lord. Sometimes it's easier said than done to place your trust in Jesus. Because everything, all the voices around you says to you not to do it. Amen? I want you this morning to say, only when the Holy Spirit tells you to stand in this time that you will stand. And say, Father, I want to trust you fully. I want to raise my hands, Lord. In surrendering, in trusting you. Amen. We're going to start singing it. And as the Holy Spirit leads you, you can stand and just allow the Holy Spirit to sing through you. Don't worry about your neighbor. He sings as bad as I do. But I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried about being in the presence of God.